There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast.
Regrettably, yes.
None of us are even introduced yet, so I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, the newsman, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
Yep. Most regrettable.
Most of your TikTok celebrities is basically just worm eaters.
Yeah. Like you have to now like set your whole self on fire and like skate down a fire ramp and into a barrel of fire.
Yeah.
And then you come out and your skin's all blistered and falling off of the bone and you're like, did you get it?
Yeah.
Hey, make sure and like, subscribe and follow all our videos. Yeah. You love this.
Yeah.
You know, it's an arms race.
Yes.
And it doesn't even have to be just things that like physically hurt you, but things that are very time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
And like I got a job, you know, I spend a lot of time at it, but I also enjoy my free time. And I see I don't know, I like to use my time wisely if I can. And I feel like spending 16 hours to make one TikTok video, like I'm not getting ahead. Like, sure, I might be making lots of money, but am I getting ahead day to day? I don't know. And
that's like one of my favorite videos are those time-lapse videos.
Yeah.
But you know how long it takes to freaking take a time-lapse
video?
That's
exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Right.
I see one that's always an ad where like a girl's like jumping and it shows her like
She'll jump and then moving
around, you know,
right,
in this jumping pose, you know. Right. And I'm like, man, how many times did you have to do this? How much effort was put into this? Again, it had to be a day at least worth of effort. You can probably see like the sun changing position in the video, but
I saw one of a guy, definite worm eater. He fills like an old microwave full of concrete and sticks his head into it and waits for it to harden. So he sticks his head into the where the door would be, like they broke the door off of it, and then sticks his head into the microwave that's full and like with a breathing tube, which eventually becomes kinked at one point, and then he can still breathe. He's doing it. He found a way. In what way? But firefighters had to come out and cut him out of this thing. You know, they're just standing over him, like looking at him, just cutting him out. It looks like it took hours and hours to get him out, and he finally gets his head out, and he was like, oh, you know, all right, you know, thanks for watching, guys. Like,
he got paid $80,000 for that video, and firefighters, probably volunteers that are getting paid like $5 to stop by there.
Yeah. Or tax dollars.
Yes. Yeah. And tax, yeah, absolutely.
And now there's dead bodies on, you know, that they couldn't get to.
Cats and trees.
And trees, man. Burning apartment building that just burnt to a crisp because they were too busy getting old Joey Salad's head out of a damn microwave full of concrete. And they're looking at him like, what are you doing? Like, it used to be like maybe it was a funny home video of a girl like sticking her head between the two posts of the rail, you know, like on the stairs or something, and then her head stuck in that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, maybe it was that, and then they had to grease it or come through and cut the things or pull them apart to get her head out. Now it's, then you know, an honest or innocent enough mistake. Joey Salad sticking his head into it, like purposefully into that.
And then waiting for it to harden.
Yeah. I just...
Right.
This is what you have to do.
Recently, who she like Instagrammed herself, I think, is it was on Instagram. She was like, if you run out of hairspray, let's try Gorilla Glue spray, I guess. And it looked like a can of, so I didn't know there was Gorilla Glue spray.
Yeah, totally. It's like an adhesive spray. Yeah.
Yeah. But she likes,
it's like good stuff.
Yeah. And then she has to go to the hospital afterwards.
Yeah.
You know,
and now she has a GoFundMe. That she's raised.
No.
Yeah, she's raised $15,000.
$15,000.
Yeah. And
I know healthcare is expensive, but it can't be that expensive.
She put a limit or she wanted a goal of $1,500. That's what she was told. And then not only does she have the $15,000 or more now.
Yeah, probably more now, yeah.
There's a doctor in Los Angeles who's offering to do it for free. To do the whole thing for free. I actually, funnily enough, I got the article right here.
So isn't that crazy?
She still has the problem and hasn't been resolved yet?
Yeah, I saw a picture last night of her in the hospital bed, like in her
hair.
Head's,
helmet hair?
Her helmet hair. It's all like flaky and white, like just the worst dandruff.
It's like a day of after me playing a basketball game in the 90s with some LA Looks gel in my hair.
Right.
My hope is that she didn't go and, like, there's not, like, some lawsuit being aimed at Gorilla now.
Oh, she is.
Oh, there is. Yep. Yep.
You're kidding me. Yeah, this should, if anything, this should increase the sales for Gorilla Glue because, I mean, if it takes like a hospital and a medical treatment to unadhere Gorilla adhesive, then, man, that's good stuff.
Yeah. It takes one TikToker off the TikTok.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
It's a good advertisement for the product. Works as advertised. There's not an actual lawsuit, but there's pressure for it.
Gotcha.
I read that she's considering suing Gorilla Glue because it doesn't say don't spray this on your stupid head.
You know,
it should just say that. If all those warning labels should be as frank as that. Don't let your dumb child wrap this around its neck.
Right.
Like, so yeah, she's getting, you know, thinking about suing them. Mr. Doctor Michael Obang.
Oh, who's this article by? Can I just ask real quick? Does it say on there?
I just copy and pasted the text.
Right, gotcha.
It was on a major one, like maybe Fox News even or something.
Well, I did see where Fox News did a story on it. I think everybody's done it by
right,
now.
Right, right. Says she has already raised nearly $15,000 via GoFundMe drive, nearly 10 times the initial goal of $1,500, but Obang is doing the normally $13,000 procedure for free. So
she could now pay for the procedure, but because the exposure in the media, she's going to get that for free and have the $15,000 cash to do some more stupid crap with.
Followers, and then if she decides to maybe sue Gorilla Glue and come out with a good lawsuit for $1 million, then there's that too. So,
and Gorilla Glue would probably settle out of court because they know they didn't do anything wrong, but they just don't want to mess with it.
And I guess this woman's a national treasure now, so you know they don't want to go against that. That'd be like going against Oprah.
And like you said, their sales went up 13% overall, so it's the best advertising they've ever had.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's true.
I find stories like this very hard to be. It makes it very hard for me to be patriotic sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Because I don't know how many followers, but then I see like there's some famous TikToker. She's like 17 and she just came out that she's gay and like introducing her girlfriend. It's like my stupid Google News algorithm, like every other story is about her.
Right.
And so I don't read the stories. I'm 100% honest. I just see the headlines and it's just a day to day like, oh, well, she hasn't introduced her yet. Oh, now she's put a video out with it. Right. She's got 300 million TikTok followers. That's like the only fact I've seen. 300. That's please be from other countries. Please, somebody tell me it's not mostly Americans.
Oh, it's definitely lots of countries.
Sure.
I believe that.
Like every American.
Yeah,
it would
and their
have
child.
To,
and
yeah. But still, it could be like 100 million Americans. That's scary.
Yeah.
That's more scary than the 70 million that voted for Donald Trump.
Right.
Is the 100 million Americans that would follow this 17-year-old who just came out that she's a lesbian.
And who cares? That's the whole point of it,
who
right?
Cares? Who cares? Absolutely.
It's just a 17-year-old girl, whether she... doesn't matter. I mean, it's a...
Who's following?
Who cares?
Are there that many creepy dudes out there in the world? There's like,
now they're waiting.
this is great.
Yeah, she's going to get an OnlyFans in a year.
Yeah, this isn't even somebody.
Oh, no.
I've never
heard of this person.
I'm not in the know in that
community.
And
don't get me wrong. I don't find myself the most socially active person anymore. But this person isn't like... I mean, it
was a JoJo something?
Yeah, JoJo. Yeah, JoJo Siwa.
You could meet somebody at Walmart, just bump into them at Walmart, and they have 100 million followers. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're rich, I guess.
Exactly.
You gotta have a stupid name, JoJo. Surely your name's like Mary or something.
I hope.
Not JoJo.
Maybe Jocelyn.
Siwa?
Jocelyn. She goes by JoJo.
Okay, Jacqueline.
Yeah. That's not worm eater culture. That's just that type of culture, those types of videos where it's just everyday life for people. Oh, we did this. Oh, we got a new spatula today. They have
too much free time on their hands.
Yeah,
but why her coming out? Why is that news?
Because, she's a hero now.
But we don't know who she is.
I guess you got 300 million TikTok followers.
So,
maybe you're an idiot for not knowing who she is.
That's true.
My bad.
Yeah, maybe we're the dummies.
Yeah, right.
There'll be people.
Like, duh.
Yeah. Did you not hear that time that she like... did this or this or this that meant nothing. Like, come on, what are you?
Great.
So looks that's like Liberace when he was 17
years
old.
There you go.
Okay. Well, I mean, embracing
dating
it.
Myself.
Embracing
it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. That's. I mean, I can understand the worm eaters. I can understand that because we all saw worm eaters in school. Swallow a worm to continue hanging out with the crew. Now it's to be popular. Patrick, you just said eating rotten food. That's a great way. That's a great way to find yourself at the top of the TikTok charts for that week.
Yeah, or just eating food at all with your microphone turned all the way up and you're like...
Yep.
Yep. Sorry.
You just had the
ASMR.
ASMR. Yeah, yeah. You just had the idea to get a microphone first and do that because I don't know. Can we just come out with ASMR tomorrow and be as popular?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think we missed the boat.
Although I would only eat Cheetos, crunchy, hard, puffs.
How about biscuits and gravy? That'd be a gross one. Ooh, yeah.
Well, talk about this dude like with the cement block around his head. And they had to get the fire department out to come help him. I guess maybe a great way to be a TikTok star is to find ways that to die that nobody ever thought of because nobody could be like, that's so stupid. You couldn't possibly have a person that stupid to die in such a manner. And then you do that, but you don't die. Miraculously, thanks to maybe a subsidized fire department or something like that. You make it through. Bam, you got TikTok followers now.
Yep. The guy, there's one guy during New Year's Eve, he decided to hold like a mortar firework shell, and he blew his hands off. I bet that guy's cruising in the followers now.
Viral, man.
Viral.
Watching these TikTok people do really stupid, crazy things.
Exactly.
But they're getting paid a bunch of money, so it's like self-reinforcing.
Right.
Exactly.
Like this streaker at the Super Bowl, supposedly he got paid, like, overall, he made like $320,000. Off doing that, so his whatever measly fines he got charged for it, well, those are well taken care of,
right?
But there's a huge sector of folks who like financially rewarded him, reinforced his whatever he was doing. So do it again, why not? Right. Like, you can deal with a couple of $1,000 worth of penalties.
Become a streaker professionally.
Yeah,
he made $300,000 last time he did it. Why not?
And just for something as stupid as running across.
He wasn't even
naked. No, it was like a pink thong bikini.
Yeah. And just brought his shorts down below his
And how many?
At least be naked. I don't want to see it, but I'm saying at least
if you're
gonna
go on
a streak.
Do it.
And, but you still have the tens of millions of people, I guess, who are just like, whoa, I got it. Watch this.
But is there a difference in the charge if you're not fully naked?
Ooh, I don't know. So he was smart.
So he may have been even smarter not to be fully naked. There's not an indecent exposure charge or whatever.
So he wasn't even that. It wasn't even that of anything.
Exactly.
It was nothing.
It was nothing.
We need to have more discipline with the internet.
Yeah.
We really do. You know, and I feel I like to think that I have some because, I mean, those things can be, no doubt, it can be a train wreck is a train wreck, right? You want to see it. Now it's, now it's available 24/7. I don't know.
I wish it was taken away from me.
I feel
good.
But it's not. I mean, that's not the internet. It's all out there. You know, can figure out how to build a nuke. It's just up to each one of us to be like, let's not do that.
Right, right.
Yeah. It's the wrong thing to do.
Right.
So actually, we're all better people than we used to be. Because we even more now, to this day and age, we have the ability to do way more worse stuff than we ever could with YouTube. But we choose not to.
Well, we're still a little bit of a pre-internet generation. I can remember times without the internet. A big split for the internet was when it went from a text-based communications platform to a image and especially video. Because you remember when dial-up, it was impossible to see anything with many photos. Like, I remember being, like, 13, like, oh, I'm gonna type in naked woman and you got to wait, like, showing a little bit, but going down.
Of resolution.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like, hurry up, my parents are going to get here anytime. It gets down to the waist, and you're like, oh, that's a man. Back. Yeah. Try this again.
You're listening to Uncle John's Remember When.
That's right. My point is, in the end run, is that technology is getting the better of us. and socially, as we're talking with TikTok stars, the amount of time that gets wasted, you know, elevating these things into like culture, I guess, educationally, you know, you see all this, they call it like the Grade Depression, where all these school districts across the country are reporting really bad testing scores among their virtual or offsite learners, because we all know, whether you want to call it remote learning, virtual learning, onsite learning, all of that, it sucks, and it probably always will.
My sons are part of that. They're just not good at remote learning.
Sure, and a lot of schools are like, well, if we got our virtual learning, it's platforms, you know, it's not like you're putting on some VR glasses and you're like in the class with the teacher and all your friends, you know. No,
they should do that.
Yeah, an idea.
Might work better. That way, you
imagine wearing that for 8 hours, though?
Right.
Be sick as a dog afterwards.
Right, that's true.
But it's like, my idea is when, I mean, let's, if I'm, do you remember computer class?
Yes, I remember keyboard class.
Keyboard, okay, perfect. So keyboard class, I would sit strategically so that the teacher would not come to my area often. And I would play.
It was
play,
just too far away.
It was too far away. And I would play addictinggames.com. And I would play the Flash games on there.
Oh, yeah.
And then when he would come, I'd quickly close out and have the keyboard, the typing thing up. That's why I suck at typing. I frittered the whole thing away. And
he's good at those Flash games, though.
Yeah, oh, man. Archer Man 2?
Yeah.
Archer Man 2, man.
Heli Attack 1, 2, and 3.
I'm of the age of. Oh, never mind.
Back when steam power was in use, and
I was just thinking about the what is it, the trail, that game that we played way back,
Oregon Trail.
Oregon,
my gosh,
trail.
So I played that one just a couple years ago.
Did you?
It holds up to in my opinion.
Okay,
maybe it's nostalgia, no doubt.
No, it's not. It's a good game. You can even get it, you can buy on Amazon, they have it as a solo portable device with a backlit screen and everything.
Really?
You can play the fully fledged Oregon Trail game for like $20. You
a,
can
just dedicated get
that. A dedicated
electronic
little
device
handheld for the game.
The Oregon Trail Boy.
Yeah, the Oregon Trail Boy. But my whole point was, like, what's stopping you from, when you're virtual learning, to just have addictinggamesup.com, or nobody uses that, you know, whatever.
Right.
Just Call of Duty 4 going. Four? What am I? How old am I? I mean, whatever it is, whatever the newest thing is, you're playing something, and it's just the camera's at you, and it maybe looks like you're really learning,
man,
really
he's
hard,
really typing.
Yeah.
He's really going at that board.
He's super angry that he's not getting the answer right.
Yeah. I think, like, in college, the only class I ever got a B in was an online class. I just couldn't take it seriously.
Right.
It was like an hour and a half class. You know, 2 days a week, and I still could not take it seriously for that limited amount of time. And also, like, I don't know if it was because of online and the teacher was, or the professor was maybe like, oh, you think this is going to be a joke because it's remote learning, but it ain't going to be a joke. And it's like the hardest class I had to take. That's the same. So, one, it was like the hardest class I had to take. And two, the one I took the least seriously, which wasn't good.
That brings me to a whole nother question. My daughter is at a college in Ada right now. She was making the statement that should she have to pay full tuition because over half of her classes she will be taking at home now.
No, absolutely not. That's ridiculous that colleges and universities in the country have not dropped their tuition rates, because honestly, that also goes to paying the lights, the utilities, you know, that just the bare bones like costs of operating a facility. And we've seen, like, I don't know about colleges, but I know the federal government has, like, I've seen reporting that states that the federal government has saved hundreds of millions of dollars in 2020 because just simply for the fact that lights weren't turned on in federal buildings.
Right.
Man,
I believe that.
I mean, the whole, you're paying so you could be with the teacher who's
the
got the
experience.
The collegiate experience. There you go.
Or could one argue that you're just paying for that certificate at the end of the 4 years that says that you graduate?
I mean, technically, that's all you're paying for,
right,
is the certificate, right? The education. It doesn't matter if it's presented to you,
you
know, in class, remotely, if it's written in the sky by an airplane.
Which would be an awesome way to take at least one class, right?
Sure. Definitely.
The sky plane class.
Be a very weather. Yes. Be a very weather-dependent class, I guess.
So. If a man has 30 watermelons and he... This is paragraph written out, like, come on. Oh, dude, we got to get the Blue Angels here or something.
Yeah. But Oregon Trail. I want to talk about that so much, but I was going with something somewhere.
But then you died of dysentery.
No, dickweed was bitten by a rattlesnake right here. I'll always remember it. I think it was just past Fort Morgan.
I think it was my sixth or seventh grade that was spent every single computer class was spent on either the Oregon Trail or there was another one called Lotus, which was a car racing.
Okay.
Car racing.
Okay, yeah.
But those were the two that we played.
Oregon Trail, man. you play it in school. That was like, I don't know if you're old enough for that, Tyler.
No.
Not even like Oregon right. Trail 3?
No, not even the one for Super Nintendo or nothing.
Oregon Trail 3D?
Yeah. I remember the original like on DOS, you know?
Yeah.
It was all black and green.
Yes, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
I think it was number two, though. It was like really good. That was the best.
And when you would have to, what would you have to do? You'd have to hunt, or there was an actual point where like you controlled a guy
and shot. Animals would race across the screen.
Right.
You would sometimes kill too many, and then it was like, hunting's no good here anymore.
Oh, right.
You've decimated the population.
Yeah, exactly.
Every step you took was wrong.
Yes.
Like, it was really hard.
But they had you play that game as some kind of substitute, and it was always in computer class, like a substitution for history, I guess, you know? Like, it was, I remember, years and years of school playing that game, and it's like new releases, you know? And but that's just how unseriously educators took technology back in the day. It's like, it's computer class, just play Oregon Trail. This is like the most advanced thing that you'll ever see in your life.
Yeah, I can remember my first computer class was, okay, here is sequentially how you turn on the computer.
Yeah.
Because this was the first, it was like, I want to say fifth grade or sixth grade. It was the first year we had computers in school.
Right. It was like the size of the room.
No. They were big. It's
pumping out gamma rays. And Timmy, how do you turn off the computer? Multiple choice. Did you first just rip the cord out of the wall? Do you shut the breaker off?
Right.
That's the fastest way.
So this was Lotus, the game, the other game we played that was not the Oregon Trail on DOS. Okay. Lotus, DOS.
Wow, in color?
It wasn't. Mine wasn't color. It was green and black.
I guess.
I think this is Lotus 3, actually, but they were very similar in looks.
I guess I did play Oregon Trail, sort of. Not that game, but the modern version of it. It was the one that was you were in a semi-truck, and you go across... I remember that when you'd be in a semi truck and you would, you didn't control it or anything. It was automatic, but
you'd be
like
a nurse or a teacher or a pastor.
No,
only a truck driver.
Only a truck driver.
Okay, sorry.
And you would have to, it was all like mathematics. Like you'd have to figure out how much gas you needed to make money and you needed to turn a profit and you needed to do all this stuff. But it's kind of Oregon Trail-ish because that's what we do now. First, it was having to pioneer a trail. Now it's like the truck driver just drives across the country.
Well, maybe you were in education when the big shift. Because I remember when I was in high school, it was all about you got to get a college degree. It doesn't matter. Psychology, history, political science.
Right.
You just got to get a 4-year degree. And then everybody got 4-year degrees. And we were all like living with our parents, making and not having jobs afterwards. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you know what? I'm sorry. Now that everybody is a 4-year psychology major, we don't have any new truck drivers anymore. Yeah. We don't have any new like plumbers or carpenters, the guys who make real money and have jobs waiting. So maybe
it's, and then it switched to my generation where they were like,
generation.
Whatever you want
to
do.
Yes.
Like you're special. You'll get there.
You want to make money, dig ditches.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That one Lotus, I remember playing the heck out of that.
Yeah.
That was like my childhood flashback to me, my childhood education playing that game at Oregon Trail.
It's just when you put an educational spin on a game, it's not fun anymore.
Right.
Like the whole idea of the trucking game was so cool to me, but it was something I had to do that I still would close it out and play addictinggames.com, you know?
Well, going back to my high school, getting to do the aerospace and aeronautics vert.
The flight sim?
Yeah, simulators. Thank you. Yeah. I would have loved to learn on a diesel or a 18-wheeler simulator.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's 18 videos. And a half gears you're cycling through.
There's videos. Have you seen the videos of the kid that does the one? It's like a 16-year-old kid, but he's a kid. You know, he does the... He's apparently, obviously, his dad is like one of the simulator operators or something. So he plays on it every day.
Right.
So he's just a really good kid at the simulator. But he mows through that simulation. I would love to be able to jump on one of them simulators like that.
Oh, yeah. If you can drive a semi-truck, I think you can drive anything, right?
Yeah,
just like backs it up perfectly. He knows not to use the Jake brakes within city limits.
And, oh, none of them know
but
that.
But he just does it in town. He does it in the towns he wants to.
Yeah, yeah, right. The ones he hates. Yeah, exactly.
Hate this town. I'm going through Fort Smith, Jake braking.
I do remember it was like this like Wild West, but it was such good intentions of using technology and new culture and stuff to introduce teaching. Not I know they still do that now. You know, you've got like all kinds of like augmented reality and virtual programs and stuff to teach kids things nowadays. I sound so old here, but I remember being like on the cusp of that, and it was not just like things like Oregon Trail. Let's teach you about history by having you play a video game. It was also like rap. You know, like going to like elementary school in the early 90s, they were like, kids love rap. It's the biggest thing ever. Let's use rap to teach kids things. So you end up having like, I'm going to steal this from my wife. She's a few years younger than me. So she really got more of this than I did. They were still using grunge music to teach me education. But we're going to teach you to multiply. All you got to do is try. Stay with me and you will see how to multiply by three.
Nice.
And it was like that. It was...
And then the B-boy stance by the teacher.
It was so like innocent but also cringy and embarrassing and
learn nothing.
Ineffective.
Yeah.
Like 100% ineffective.
Yeah. How are you going to teach kids now like a computer class? These kids are so advanced, they're going to be like, ugh. They're just going to like, you know.
It's like Fortnite classes now.
Fortnite class. Like the teacher don't know jack.
I was talking to an administrative educator recently. And he was talking about like, you know, preparing our kids for the wood mill and preparing them to be truck drivers. And, you know, like kind of again, this is a guy like with the recent change of re-emphasis on vocational and technical programs, less so much just getting pure college degrees. I know that's where his mind was going. And I'm just thinking like, they teach your kids how to use TikTok and YouTube and they'll make way more money that way, you know.
But are those fleeting?
Yes.
Will they be gone in a decade?
They'll be dead by 22. Well,
if you teach them how to use it right, it's keep your integrity and do whatever you got to do. Make your 100 grand and invest it. Yeah. Get out.
You're right.
Spend it on a good education. And
I wonder how many TikTokers have made it big and then you've never seen them again because they were absolutely. Oh, no, I'm cashing out now.
All of them. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. He's so eclectic. I know one guy who's made a fortune off of it. He just like... He like drinks Fanta or Sunkist or something, and he like kind of wiggles around on. He's not dancing. It's not dancing. Anybody who appreciates dancing knows that's not what he's doing.
So he's just drinking wiggling Faygo around. And spasming.
Yes, and spasming on camera, and people love him. You know, sometimes he does it in the back of a truck. Sometimes he does it in front of his driveway. You know, amazing, groundbreaking. Like I can only imagine like what your mental health is as a 13-year-old right now. That is like fully inundated. In social media.
Oh, man. You know, I couldn't even. It's like an alien. Yes. I am like alien to me.
I have friends who have kids about that age, and they're generally like miserable to talk to or hang out. They can't look you in the eyes. They're just seem like psychopaths, I guess, you know, like, or future
sociopaths
ones.
For sure.
Yeah. That's like a given nowadays. Right. So, but, to go back, technology, it's this whole thing is a lot about technology is getting the better of us. And I feel like one of the situations where most of us can agree upon is on our vehicles. And if you're listening and you don't agree, then you obviously don't have a new enough vehicle.
Right.
And if you did, you would be very frustrated at times. The lack of just ability to fix anything.
The amount of
yourself.
O2 sensors on something?
No. Yeah, well,
how
yes.
How many O2 sensors? What's up?
No. Yeah, emissions standards and stuff. You can't even like change the oil on your own vehicle these days without like voiding the warranty.
It's crazy.
But one thing I saw, Freethink did some great reporting recently where they were showing, studying how farmers who are buying newer farm equipment, they have breakdowns. Let's say just a check engine light comes on, you know, on this thing because it needs a software update or it's a false error or something. Because again, they have the millions of diagnostic checks per minute that are being done on these very fancy vehicles, and they have no ability to work on it in the field. And so you have like a perfect storm of like very technologically advanced products being used by people that are like traditionally like simpler and rugged. Not say, hey, a farmer, you got to be like a you got to be like a chemist and a horticulturist and a plumber and a carpenter. You got to like do a million different things. Right. But being a software engineer is traditionally not one of them. And now right. so many of them are forced because Mother Nature does not really schedule itself around your 40-mile trip to take your combine to the John Deere factory
right.
to get it worked on. You know, if something breaks down in the field, you got to fix it on the field. But now you have all these newest, overly complicated, run by computers, which a lot of this, yes, is to cut down emissions. That's where a lot of this started from. You got to have sophisticated systems to cut down on emissions and meet federal standards, understand. But again, your diagnostic program that comes with your latest tractor or whatever, it malfunctions, throws a light up. Now you can't operate the machinery you're worried to because you think maybe something seriously is wrong with it.
Right.
And but no, you just take it to your local manufacturer or your dealership. You got to take it there. The only ones who have the proprietary software, and you got to charge them. They'll charge you an arm and a leg to just clear the code so then you can move on. And if you have a newer vehicle, that happens too.
Right.
You know, the last new vehicle that Caitlin, that my wife had, it check engine light all the time, you know, and it was always nothing. It was just like false diagnostic readings.
Right.
But again, that would, a remote start wouldn't work. I think that was the only feature maybe that didn't work, but still you have that. Nobody, you got a brand new vehicle. Nobody wants a check engine light popping on.
Yeah.
But in Pacific, Freethink was talking to some farmers, and in this reporting showed that more and more of them are like using the dark web and you going online to get illegally obtained diagnostic software to use on their vehicles, and a lot of it's coming from like East Europe. Like it's hackers in East Europe that have hacked this stuff from, let's just use John Deere or Kubota for example, selling it on like the dark web to farmers.
So we've pushed farmers from A, not really using the web much at all, farming back in the day, to now having to use the DARP web.
To getting Bitcoin, because you probably only take Bitcoin to buy that stuff. Yeah, like that's how like stupid our like our technological obsession has gotten, is that it's like it's yeah,
we're trading corn for Bitcoin.
Yeah, yeah right.
Bitcoin.
This idea that technology automatically equals progress, that's not true, and I think it's rarely very visible like in our vehicles these days.
And since you can't work on them, you just open up the hood and it's a complete mess.
So are you guys opening up the option or the possibility that simpler cars are in the future? I mean
I do like an advanced vehicle, don't get me wrong. I like blind spot detection systems. I like lane keeping assistance. I like your advanced cruise control systems.
I don't know, Lara's lane keeping assistance fights me. It's like, bro, I don't care I didn't use my turn signal. I want to change lanes.
Yeah, right. Obey me in front of the machine.
I do think in the end run that technology is making driving safer.
True.
You know, and especially in terms like the days of distracted driving is more of a thing than it ever has been.
I saw a dude in one of those self-driving cars. He's just asleep.
Yeah.
On the highway, just sleeping.
And they say in the future, self-driving technology, it's going to, the safer that technology is going to be corresponding with how many people use it. Because one of the big things now is that every car on the road is an individual unit. It has no connection to any other. You know, if the self-driving, it's not just going to be a self-driving car. It's a self-driving system where every car can, a network.
A hive.
Where the car, your car realizes, like your, or the car in front of you tells the car you're in that it's about to start slowing down.
Right.
And all the adjustments are just made automatically. So that's one of those, the more prevalent that technology gets, the better and safer it's likely to get.
Could that be the end of traffic as we know it, though? If the cars became a hive and we're talking to each other all the time, and you programmed, let's say one of the first, let's say one of the things you had to do was program your destination with stops along the way, but program your destination when you got in the vehicle. If every single person did that, then we would know, and it all went to a grid or a hive, you know, something, some sort of cloud based
everything perfectly.
We would all get in, get out, and nobody would have to slow down. Nobody would have to brake in reality.
It does seem like traffic's like a living organism, though. And it's so like it's so subject to like the butterfly effect, where if something very small happens in the front, like somebody takes a second longer to take a left turn
Because they're still riding the Hyundai Sonata from 2019 exactly. instead of all the newest Teslas.
Absolutely. And then the ripple effect just means like you're waiting in an hour to get somewhere 2 miles away.
Let's use Tesla because it's one of the more advanced. Is the Tesla lane, the new HOV lane, HOV, high occupancy vehicle, that...
Like your carpool lane.
Yeah, the carpool lane is the autonomous vehicle lane, the new thing. And if you have one of those vehicles, you can get in this lane and now you don't have to worry about traffic
anymore. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The diamond lane.
The diamond lane. Yeah. The HOV lane.
Yeah.
We called it the HOV lane.
HOV lane.
But again, you know, I'm still old enough to remember when a lot of these new features in vehicles like keyless entry, again, just make it, every car nowadays has like a phone number or an IP address associated with it, which when that first happened, it was like, oh, exciting. We got all these awesome features, but there was no security systems in place. So it was literally people could hack and could do everything in a vehicle with a cell phone. There's technology out there right now that I'm sure anybody can download somewhere on the internet that gives your smartphone access to another person's vehicle because the security systems are just not advanced enough or just haven't been focused on enough or put in place that, I think like my wife's car, because of the driver assistance programs that are software that's in it, like somebody could hack into it. They could apply the brakes. They could do anything in that vehicle, change the gears on it. They could do everything, but maybe turn the steering wheel. You know, but it's got the lane keeping assistance. So I guess there's some mechanism in there you could still operate the steering wheel on it. But
golly,
to go back to these farmers. It's just scary. A little hilarious reading about these like 80-year-old like soybean farmers who are going to the dark web to download like license key generators.
Yeah, just scrolling past M16. Don't want that. Kitty porn. Yeah. Don't want that. Don't want that.
Oh yeah, here it is.
Finally, the third party
combine instructions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It'll be interesting to see though, because back in November, Massachusetts voters voted in the very first right to repair law in the United States, which requires dealers or specifically vehicle manufacturers to provide their diagnostic software to like independent dealers to offer it for them. Cause right now it's proprietary.
For sale,
like,
obviously.
Yes. It's still for sale. Yes. Yeah, okay. But as it is now, like an independent dealer here in Arkansas,
you can't get one.
You can't get it.
Right.
Yeah. Unless maybe you go through some illegally hacked,
you got friends with an owner or something.
Yeah, something like that, you know, which my thought now has been for years, like the cars are getting so advanced and the software and the diagnostic program so proprietary that it's going to drive independent manufacturers out of business, which there's plenty. Hey, I know plenty of independent mechanics that are terrible and then don't deserve to be in business. But at the same time, how fair is it when your dealers have the monopoly on repairs? And at some point, you're going to be paying $200-$400 an hour for work that gets done so they can clear a code on there that was mistakenly illuminated because of a software error or some two systems in a vehicle not working together well.
Right. Seems like a game rigged from the start.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But it was, and you see the manufacturers, I think they're terrified of it too. One of the ads I watched before the election in Massachusetts, it was by like the conglomerate of manufacturers from across the world that like pitched in on this ad, and it pretty much suggested like women are going to be hunted down by sexual predators if independent shops get access to the diagnostic and the software programs on vehicles, because somebody will hack them and be able to get all your personal information off your vehicle because it's got your phone number, you know, you've uploaded your contacts,
your address,
it's got GPS units in it that know exactly where you've been. And I mean, that's just the most ridiculous fear mongering I've seen in that industry. Just absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That's something that when I worked for a dealership, I was like, nah, screw the independent guy, try to take my job. Now that I no longer work in that industry, I can see things a lot clearer now. And that's something America desperately needs, is some more right to repair laws, because they're eventually going to get to the point where the manufacturers have the monopoly on repairs, and they're coming out with subpar products, subpar software programs, and then going to charge us out the ass to fix it. You know, that's not exactly fair.
What happened to old school mechanics when they just had to tear apart an old Nissan to figure out how it worked?
Yeah. Clean out the carburetor and that's all you needed.
I need to get off the internet, like, for good, I think.
Uh-oh.
It's getting to that point. Yes, as of the recording of this podcast, it's the 10th of February here, 2021. Yesterday, the 9th, I delved really, really deep into the internet, and I don't like what I found, and I don't
like the end of it.
I did not find the end of it, but I got dang close.
Al Gore.
Caitlin found the end of the internet one day, and it was a video of Bruce Willis and Tina Turner dancing together. So if it's worse than that, I'm terrified to hear what it is.
Oh, it's so much worse than that.
Really? Yeah.
I know. So, for example, one of the ones that I was fixated on was a video of a man getting caught up in a lathe, like a huge foot gap, you know, whatever, 7 foot long lathe. And the man was minestrone by the end of it. I mean, he was literally just a soup left over. It was a high quality video, and
I want to see this video now.
I know, right? Like, I'll show it to you. Yeah, no.
Is it like a safety video? Like, do not do what this guy did.
Yeah, pretty much. And the weird thing is, and I can cut this out if you guys think it's Middle East. Maybe they're just still trying. They don't have the safety videos.
Oh.
There's some about that. So a big thing in the Middle East is celebration firing during weddings.
Yeah.
And three different videos of people just being absolutely their head shot off during a wedding. And the weird thing is about these videos is that, have you ever seen a video? I liken it to this video. I saw a video of a dad playing soccer with his son. And his son is pretending to basically to be goalie. And this dad just sails one at his son, like, so fast. And it hits him in the head. And the dad turns around real quick and kind of, like, runs off for a second. Like you would in a high school when you accidentally messed up. And you'd be like, oh, you know what? And then he remembers that it's like, his kid. And he, like, quickly runs over. And says, oh, my God. You know, I watched one where, like, this Middle Eastern guy, he's, like, shooting off a shotgun, just going crazy. And then he shoots this guy, blows his whole head off. And then everybody who was around them is like, like this. And this guy keeps, like, trying to have fun. He's, like, shooting off more. And they just don't realize that there's a dead body on the ground.
They got to realize that. At that
well,
point,
they do.
To...
He didn't. And I liken it to, like, when, you know, you were just like, maybe you beat up your brother too much and he starts crying. You're like, oh, no. You know, like, he's like, he almost didn't believe it for a second.
This guy was just going at it and never noticed.
Right.
Wow. Until somebody was like, dude, you got to cut it out.
Yeah,
man.
There's a dead human.
The father of the bride is dead. by your hand. Okay.
He's not dead yet.
You straight vice president somebody. You
know what I mean? I was duck hunting. Pheasants, sorry.
But, like, these videos, man, it makes me scared to leave the house. The amount of videos, and listen, okay, so.
And go to the Middle East, or.
Well, and that's the thing.
And work on lathes.
I don't go hang out with people that are drinking and shooting guns. I realize that may be even a thing around here.
Mm-hmm.
I don't enjoy that.
Oh, it's a thing.
I don't enjoy that. All I'm saying is it's scary. People have firearms and are drinking.
Right. Here's the worst part. Here's the reason I don't want to leave. Now, let me preface this by saying you could put a camera on every street in America and just film people walking. You'll have a million or hundreds of millions of videos of people walking and nothing bad happening.
Right.
There's hundreds of videos of people online just walking, like a building decides to just spit out a brick.
Right.
And it just lands on this guy's head as he's just having a stroll down the street with his Starbucks. And now his wife is, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. There's a dead husband there. His face is gone. His head is pulp.
You need to stop looking at the internet, man.
Dude, I know it.
Dude.
That's my buddy's like, oh, you know, like kids are abducted all the time. It happens all the time. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, man, well, I've been watching the show about abductions, about kids getting abducted. And it's like, you're watching a show. And yeah. I was like, how far? He's like, yeah, that's since the 70s. Okay. So it's like a season with 12 episodes spanning the 70s. Dude, it's not happening all the time.
Right.
It's just, you're just thinking that it does.
It's not, man. But I seen some things that I can't unsee. You know, like, I could go on. I didn't want to describe these videos, but I was like, I couldn't. But why can I not get enough of them? Why am I like, oh my God, that is horrible? scroll to the next one and watch an even worse one. I got to get off the internet, man.
Because you get some sort of chemical reaction?
There must be.
I mean, that would be the only reason I can think.
Right.
Yeah.
It is there's a chemical reaction in your brain that releases something, whether it be adrenaline, your body enjoys, maybe your body or maybe your brain, something enjoys whatever is being released when you're watching these.
Right.
So you're endorphins even, maybe? I don't know. It's back to serial killing. It's things, you know, endorphins being released when people get hurt. You know what I mean?
I got none. Okay, good. I was trying to think of that. I got no endorphins. I got sadness and but, when I serial killed.
to me, I can't get, I just can't get down with any of that. And sometimes I think it's like a personal thing. I have one of my best friends growing up in high school, and he was like 20. When he was working on a construction site and got run over by like a bobcat, like a skid steer, yeah. and it killed him. And there's a video of it, and I've just seen, like, I had a friend tell me, oh, here it is on YouTube, you know,
no way.
Here's the video of it. And I've never watched it, but to me, that's always been like in the back of my mind when I see any kind of video like that. I was like, man, that could be like, that could be my best friend. You right. know, that could be a family member.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, very rare. I mean, as rare as those things happen, they're all just as rare that, as, yeah. is that it's somebody, a family member or a friend yeah. of somebody.
That sails through my mind whenever I watch those videos. Is like, if I would not be able to watch that if that was my brother
yeah,
or something
right,
getting
right.
just like sucked in and by a lathe. There's a bunch of lathe videos. Apparently, they're very dangerous.
That would really take your humanity away. That very incident, get sucked into a lathe, like, oh my god, to watch that,
yeah.
like
yeah.
to turn see a person, a father, a son, a mother, a daughter, whatever, right. just like now turned into hamburger meat
yeah.
because of a tool or yeah. something. I don't know.
Oh, it's rough, man.
What's It'd more, be like, what's worse though? Something that was preventable or a total accident that nobody could have seen coming?
Right. Well, to me, I kind of see it as the same way as like watching someone get sucked up into an alien spaceship and turned into goo so they can feed the alien pilots or something.
Now,
like
see,
it's just your humanity has taken all like no, everything that I.
That guy, everybody's going to know that guy.
Yeah.
his name goes in the history yeah. books.
So I did my best once a long time ago to figure out if I was a serial killer or not, because the opportunity was presented to me. And I just thought, you know, let's try and seize this moment and just figure out an integral, you know, just deep part of myself. So one time I was walking home from a good friend's house. This was in Grand Forks, North Dakota. And
so can I just ask, like, were you trying to decide if maybe you could be a serial mm-hmm. killer, or if you'd like blacked out on a couple of occasions and maybe you were already a serial
no,
killer?
No, I was trying to figure out if I had it in me.
Okay. All right.
And I went down the list. I started at serial killer, and then I went to, okay, just murderer. Can
yeah.
I murder? Then I went to, okay, can I just beat a guy for no reason? And then it went to, can I just rob a guy?
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So I was walking home one night from a friend's house, very affected. I had many drinks, and I'm walking home, and all of a sudden, and I dressed no different then that I do now. I'm
okay.
talking black boots, yeah. black pants, black sweater, hoodie pulled over, black jacket. Like, I was just a shade of a person.
It's amazing he never got run over.
Yeah.
He should have wore reflectors.
Yeah,
at least so people
gear.
Could see him.
So I'm walking home, and this guy out of nowhere just approaches me. I was cutting through a park, and he's like, man. And this guy is way wasted. And he's like, man, I'm not from here. I can't find my car. Like, can you help me find my car? I knew the area really well, so I'm like, yeah, I can help you find your car. And this guy is super drunk. Over the course of me trying to help this guy find his car, he starts revealing to me different parts about himself, and eventually tells me that he's an oil worker in Williston, and he's just like on leave, I guess, right now on his vacation.
And he pulls out like a bunch of money out of his pocket, like a wad of hundreds. And he's like, man, I got all this money. Like, you know, I'm an oil worker out here. I just came here to stop and drink for the night. Now I can't find my car. And Grand Forks, there's a Grand Forks and an East Grand Forks over in Minnesota. There's a river that cuts through the two. And
that river makes a world of difference,
it does.
By the way, if you were to talk to any of those people.
Yeah, for
I'm
sure.
I'm from East Grand Forks.
Yeah.
But you're actually like on the west side, aren't you? That's how dumb y'all are.
Well, he starts in on, you know, all this money he's got and blah, blah, blah. And as we're failing to find the car, I'm like looking at this guy like, I could just knock this guy out right now. Just knock him out clean.
Right.
And not even worry about it and lift what's out of his pockets and maybe even find the car.
And you know, at this point he has hundreds of dollars, yes, at least.
Yeah, and a car, he's asking a dark stranger to find him, like help find him, you know, and eventually.
The shadow of the streets.
Yeah.
The dark stranger.
We're checking all these parking lots, and I'm like, man, I don't know where else it could be and all this stuff. So we end up crossing the bridge. I'm like, did you cross the bridge to East Grand Forks? He's like, I don't know, man. Like, so I'm like, okay, we'll try crossing the bridge. This is like 2 hours helping this guy find it, walking around in the bitter cold, trying to help this guy find his car. And the whole time I'm sitting there being like, all right, I'm either going to serial kill this man. I'm just going to murder him. I'm going to rob him. And like, that's just going through my mind as right. in like, can I do it?
Could
like
I do this?
I like, am toying in with the position, idea. Just toying with the idea. And eventually it's kind of anticlimactic. We do find the car. I end up not murdering him.
Okay. Yeah.
And
good on you.
Yeah. He gives me two packs of smokes. For the ordeal. Nice. So that was nice. I do remember that. But the whole time, like, this dude is sitting there. We are, we're not even crossed the bridge yet. And he is just standing there, like, swaying and waddling. And he can barely even keep himself up. And he just showed me a ton of money in his pocket, you know? And I'm just sitting there, like, just trying to think, like,
fallen off the bridge.
Oh, he wouldn't have been able to get the money then.
That's true. But well, I'm just saying, I mean, snatch the money first and then.
Yeah, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I'm not a psycho enough to be able to map that out perfectly. So instead of doing, because serial killing is inherently not a nice thing to do.
No.
It, like on the list of not nice things to do, it's probably like at the top.
Pretty high.
Not nice list. Mm-hmm. But you did a really nice thing and you helped him find his vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you let him drive away?
I was going to say,
I did.
Different time though.
Although,
so like a family might have
been
killed down the road because he was drunk driving.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I did not watch him drive away. I got him to his vehicle. He may have very well passed out in it. Mm. He may have very well gotten in and killed, you know, a school bus full of children. I don't know.
Yeah,
but he did reward me. It was kind of like a quest. I felt like I was in an RPG game at one point.
Two packs of smokes.
Got two packs of smokes. That's you know, that goes a long way when you were a broke piece of crap like I was when I was doing this whole thing.
You're like just walking around. It sounds like a video game almost.
Exactly.
Like you're walking around looking for random quests so you can make a little money or some goods to trade at some point. And you're taking this guy along, and the further along in this quest you're going, he opens up more of his life to you. Yeah.
And there was all these paths I could have taken.
Yes.
I could have.
Very open world game.
The only reason I bring this whole thing up is because I'm like, I would never put myself in that situation. Does this guy realize what situation he put himself in? I could have been like, oh, yeah, the car is right this way, and then led him into a murder-death trap or a robbing thing.
Yeah, but what year was this?
It was like 2013 or 14.
The violent crimes are going down.
So
this isn't the 90s.
8 years ago.
Yeah, this isn't the early 1990s, okay?
I guess.
The violent crimes are, people should walk around feeling safe, all right? And maybe and nothing wrong with asking a stranger for a little bit
of
help.
You're a dummy if you think, like, do not do that.
The statistics don't prove that.
Let's go back over the facts real quick.
Yeah.
What did he do for a living?
He's an oil field worker in Williston.
Right there. Instantaneous. Big nuts, right?
Yeah, so nobody...
Or at least he thought so.
He's not from around there, right? He's from somewhere else.
Right. Yeah, he's just this passerby through town, this ghost. He has never been there, does not want to stay.
Was he a large fellow, small fellow?
Yeah, he's small.
Small dude overall. So the alcohol made him a larger fellow in his mind.
I couldn't imagine. I could not. So it doesn't matter if I was tiny. A midget could have knocked this dude out.
What I'm saying is, in his brain, being inebriated helped him not believe he was in trouble.
Yeah,
true.
Yeah,
and being a man that works in the oil field, that also helped his inebriation help him not believe he was in any kind of trouble.
Yeah. Right.
Yes, you could have easily wiped this dude up, you know, completely taken him out, but he did not in the moment believe he was in trouble due to alcohol and oil-filled work.
Maybe I looked approachable as dark a shade. This is nighttime. This is like 2 in the morning. I'm most completely black.
Dude. Look like a jolly fellow.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're the most approachable dude at 2 a.m. I would ever meet in my life. I promise.
I'm talking black boots, black pants, black sweater, black jacket, black face.
I've been to North Dakota before, and you're walking around 2 o'clock in the morning, and you see a group of guys walking your direction. You're by yourself. You hope they're black. Because if they're a bunch of crazy white guys up there that you don't want to run into.
No, you don't want to. I just couldn't believe it the whole time I'm standing there. I just wanted to yank this guy up and be like, what are you doing?
Right.
I could murder you. Like, you know, easily. I just wanted to tell him, like, at the end of the whole thing, by the time I found his car, I just kind of wanted to yank him up and be like, do you have any idea what I could have done to you, you dummy? You don't trust me. You're lucky I'm trustworthy, you know, and led you to your car. But I could have easily been a murderer or a mugger. I just like to beat people up for fun, or I like to lure this guy, you know, into something or other. I don't know.
Yeah, he might have had a 380 in his pocket, and he was you know what? I'm really not too worried about you.
That's true.
That's a good point.
He could have very well had a gun on him.
You never know.
But he would never. If I could just describe, like, he was standing in this patch of grass, just looking around like, oh, like he was that drunk, like one more
dropped
drink
off by a UFO.
Yeah. He was like disorientated. He couldn't stand. He like a lightning quick punch to the face or whatever. What, just laid him out. Yeah. Just like, you know, hands up above his head. And just like,
alcoholic guns, though, make a very self-confident person.
That's true.
Good point.
That's
very
true.
Point.
Whether they, you know,
whether they should or not.
Yeah. Whether that's more hypothetical.
Whether
than
they
it
could
is
even
practical.
Hit you.
Right, right.
With it or not, you're right.
And the guy's car looked exactly like you thought. It was like one of those hatchback Civics from the 90s. It was a super beat up, terrible, clapped out. Yeah. Like he opens it up and it's fish fillet boxes spilling out. And
so,
it's like,
oh, so it wasn't even a nice Dodge Dually.
No.
Yeah, brand new F-350.
This dude had a wife at the house and kids that he was sending all his money back to. He didn't care about. He didn't care about life, bro.
Yeah. Oh, man, you would have been a terrible person if you killed that guy.
I know.
I would have hated you.
But what if he didn't? Then I'd be all right. I'd be like, good on you. Because if you murder somebody and nobody finds out, you didn't really do anything wrong.
What? That is not true.
Yeah.
In any case or country.
Why? Like you didn't get caught. You're good.
No, we're a society, not because of the laws that our society implements. Our laws are just a product of our society. Yeah, we couldn't hold our society together. People were just killing each other. Like, he doesn't contribute anything anyways.
Right?
Like, what has he ever done
but
for
you
anybody?
Always get people
just a
like,
hobo.
I got to be honest. Somebody comes up to me. I make friends with them and this and that. Coworker maybe. And they reveal to me like, I killed somebody once. I'm like, you didn't get caught? Oh, that's crazy. You know, I guess I wouldn't be too fazed by it.
We've all wanted to kill somebody, even if we didn't act on it or not. We've all wanted somebody to not be around us
anymore. I wanted
anymore
to kill this guy.
For
trust me,
reason.
It was the most I wanted to kill somebody ever, and I didn't. So I know I can't kill. I know I'm not a serial killer.
So you walked away like, I'm a good person.
No, I walked away thinking like, I'm insane.
For even
because I'm
about
not even joking. This sounds lighthearted, but the entire time, my gears were just spinning on how I could kill this man. Is this illegal?
To think about
to
it?
To talk
no.
about or
no.
think about? Like, the whole time I'm like,
it lacks taste.
It lacks
I'll say
taste.
That.
Yeah, because I could have just been a nice person, but instead I wanted to be like, let's see here if I can actually.
But I think you are able, now at this moment you're talking about something that many people may have experienced, maybe not to that depth, but we have experienced a level of thinking, could I get away with something that's illegal in society or not even socially acceptable?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, but we don't talk about it. We don't have the guts to talk about it.
I think maybe a lot of times, though, it still has like a good intention involved with it. A thing I think a lot about, and what this conversation sparks in my mind, is I was on a cruise once with a really good friend of mine and his wife, and we were on an elevator like in the cruise ship, and inside the elevator, as soon as we got in, there was like two kids by themselves, and it was like a sister and brother. The sister was maybe like 8 years old. The brother was like 4 or 5, you know, not even like kindergarten age.
Right.
And they're just in there by themselves. And my buddy asked him, he's like, where are your parents at? And they look up at him and they're like, this is your first cruise, isn't it? And he's got like the blue Carnival cruise necklace thing that you have to wear the whole time. Yeah, that's all she says to him.
I love it.
I just look at him and he's like beet red. And he's like, doesn't say another thing to him. He's just like shaking his head, like hands like kind of fisting up. And the kids get off the elevator and he's like, you know, he was like, I was so close to grabbing them kids up and dangling them over the side of the cruise ship. And he's like, I wouldn't let them go. I wouldn't do anything to him. I just wanted to dangle him over the side of the cruise ship to be like, this is why you're always with your parents.
Yeah.
If your parents were here, this wouldn't happen to you. And I was like, I just don't imagine I understand good intentions.
Yeah, teach a lesson.
Very good intentions. Yes, teach a lesson to the kids and the parents that you try to stay safe, but it would end up badly in the long run.
But those kids were on a treasure hunt that was sanctioned by the cruise. So they were actually sent out to go find something.
You could sue the cruise ship for that.
I was going to say,
they found an ass kicking.
Him spending the rest of time in the brig because they videoed him hanging some kids over the deal because they were on some scavenger hunt with the cruise.
Right. It's like, you're not Michael Jackson, man.
Yeah, bro.
You can't get away with it. Okay. I don't know. I try to live my life based upon a reflection of what my death would be like. And my number one thing is if my obituary could just say one thing is like, Patrick didn't screw anybody over. That's all I care about. And I feel like if I killed somebody, I probably screwed I screwed something up there.
I don't know.
Even if you took some, you know, wretched person off the streets, their mom was still grieving. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, somebody's.
So yes, there may be a quote unquote good purpose behind it, but there was still a very bad act in which other people were hurt.
You got your one life to live, you know? Who gets to walk around just deciding that who they're going to end that? Yeah. Exactly. Just for the principle of it.
The government.
Not based off anything else. Like, even if you're like a serial killer, it's not because of money. You know, it's not because of usually some tangible thing, or maybe it is like some weird sexual fetish or something. A lot of times it's just killing for the sake of killing, right?
It's a feeling that they get. Yeah, you're right.
There's no sport in it or anything like that.
Yeah.
Let's take maybe some gang members in certain spots that have killed numerous people, you know, and certainly are those that never get caught, or even they maybe serve a little time, but they've got lives under them. Serial killer? No. Definitely not. Like a war zone almost environment.
Good
might have killed more than a serial killer, but it's not. You're not serial killing.
I mean, killing in South Central Chicago, I mean, that's like killing someone in Baghdad, I figure, you know.
Right.
Not serial killing. So yeah. I guess that's where I'm trying to split hairs a little bit.
The thing is that you want your gravestone to say, Patrick never screwed anybody over.
Yeah.
I would love to screw a bunch of people over. I just don't have the balls for it. Like, I don't have the balls to kill somebody, but I wouldn't mind.
Right. What the hell were your parents doing?
Did you not watch Full Metal Jacket as a kid?
I'm a failure to myself. All I want to do is murder somebody, and I just can't do it. I just can't seem to do it.
I love it.
Is that too much to reveal about myself?
That's way too much.
In yesterday's society, it was way too much to reveal about yourself. But I think in 2020 plus,
yeah.
Today,
all people
just
talk about
everything.
Is shooting Democrats, and other people are choking Republicans.
Exactly.
It's all murder. I just want to, you know, indiscriminately kill.
Yeah. That's don't matter what your political affiliation is. Well, that makes you a bad person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of my quote unquote evangelical, quote unquote Christian friends have talked about killing Democrats, or if all the Democrats were wiped off the earth, this would be a better place. Do you hear what you're saying? You're supposed to represent Jesus Christ. And yet you're talking about killing people.
Right. And that Democrat might be your neighbor.
It most likely is. Yeah, you're right. Exactly.
Or your grandpa. Or
your grandpa. Yeah.
Like, oh, well, not him. Okay.
Yeah,
he's
exactly.
one of the good ones.
Yeah.
It's like that country song. I'd burn this whole town down if it wasn't for my mama's house.
Right.
You know what I mean? I hate this place, except for the one place I love.
The nice girl at Taco Bell, she's a Democrat. Well, not her either. She does a really good job taking my order.
And I love the quesadillas.
I don't even know. I just, you know, I guess I tempt myself with that kind of thing just to see. Just to see. I've never murdered an animal. I've never done that. That's a big sign, right, of serial killing. and then
kill animals at an early
kill
age.
Animals.
Yeah, that's a bad.
Yeah,
maybe that's why I'm not a serial killer, axe murderer guy.
Yeah,
well, and that's you don't see like serial killers aren't like a kid who grew up or school shooters. Perfect example too. They're never. It doesn't like happen in the South. You had that one in Jonesboro back in the 90s. That was one of the first big ones.
Right.
Barring that, they generally happen in places and involving kids that weren't around firearms growing up and never killed an animal, never like hunted an animal down and see what the effects.
Right.
Of actually shooting something, they don't have that visual representation point to fall back on. Killing out of necessity, I think it cuts in the bud that desire to kill out of pleasure.
Exactly.
I agree.
I've squashed a few spiders. I burned a couple ants with a magnifying glass. And then once I accidentally stepped on a frog, and the frog was about 2 inches long.
Oh, no.
I stepped on it on its back half.
Did it go?
Well, it just threw up all of its innards. Guts, yeah. The innards went at least a foot away from it.
Dang.
The frog was only 2 inches, but the innards went forever.
Like prolapsed.
Yeah, it just like it's just like a toothpaste tube that you roll up super quick.
Yikes.
And I felt awful. I felt terrible for that. I know a friend who was just messing around. He was too young to know, and he just rolled a tuna can lid over a lizard. Like that, it was a lizard that he owned, and I guess he was like playing with it when he was super young, and he had a tuna can lid for some reason. He just rolled it over
pizza
and went
cut it.
It went like that when it died. Like he says he still remembers.
Aww.
The and that's it. I mean, he's not a serial killer because he felt bad.
Yeah.
You didn't want to get a whole bunch more and just pizza cut all of them.
My friend stuck a frog in a jar and stuck it outside when it was like 10 degrees outside and froze it solid. And the next day, we brought it inside and thawed it, and it came back to life.
Wow, that's awesome.
Literally.
That's science.
It only used three of its legs, but
right.
It was kind of a...
I would say the perfect ending to your story there is if you got him back in the vehicle, he sticks the keys in the ignition,
and he
tries to...
No. I'm sorry.
No.
I want everybody to be happy.
It was an IRA bomb the whole time. He was
got a lot of debt with the mob. Like you might have got like 50 grand from the mob if you just done it yourself. Saved them the car bomb. Those can't be cheap.